It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
What is worship? And what if true worship turns out to be different than you think and practice? In the previous podcasts, the language of the Bible informs us on worship. We heard the Hebrew and Greek words for bowing down are also translated as worship. Worship expresses dependence upon and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Another set of Hebrew and Greek words used for worship convey a wholesome fear or reverence for the one true God. In his book, The Dangerous Act of Worship, Mark Laberton provides a useful understanding of worship. I'll give you that definition at the end, but first, let's consider an aspect of worship we have not dealt with yet. Here is a third cluster of words used for worship, the Hebrew word avad and the Greek word latruo. Both these words are translated as either serve or worship, depending on the context. For instance, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, Israel receives this command, "You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him." Here, the word worship translates the Hebrew word avad. When Jesus quotes this same verse in Matthew 4, verse 11, the Greek word latruo is used. We could cite other biblical examples. The conclusion is, any valid understanding of worship of the one true God must include serving. Paul uses the word latruo in the climax of his letter to the Romans. He writes in Romans 12, verse 1, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." I have quoted from the New International Version, where latruo is translated as the phrase act of worship. The Venerable King James Version renders it service, the English Standard Version as worship. And the translators of the New American Standard Bible combine both concepts and use the phrase service of worship. This worship, service, or service of worship is to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, a sacrifice is irrevocable. You can't take it back. It is complete, not partial. After all, what part of our bodies is being kept back? In this context, the phrase our bodies means everything that we are and have, our whole being, our whole life. What does this mean for your worship and your life? Here's an illustration. Picture Romans 12 as four bowls of different sizes. The first bowl fits within the second within the third, and the third within the fourth. The first or central bowl represents service as worship. Your latruo, or act of worship. If we have responded as Paul urges, that central bowl becomes an unlimited and continuous source of grace, the overflowing life of Jesus Christ by His Spirit. You can imagine that overflow as pure water if that helps. Jesus was telling us about this when it is reported in John 7, verses 37 and 38, that on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Then in the next verse, verse 39, John explains, "By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive." So in our metaphor, as the first bowl is filled and begins to overflow, it pours into the second bowl, then into the third, and then into the fourth. What do these bowls represent? Like the four bowls, Romans 12 presents us with four ever larger situations. First is the central bowl of your act of worship, represented by Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Let me read that again. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy," and that mercy was described for us in Romans 1 through to 11, "to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship," or if you will, your service of worship. "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This first or central bowl refers to you in relationship with God, the God revealed as Jesus Christ. It is your body, your being, your life, consecrated, radically committed to worship, worship that is manifested as being a living sacrifice in service to Him. Picking up on John chapter 7, as the Spirit of God fills that first bowl, the excess will overflow into the second. Now, what is this second bowl? It is your gifting. As we read in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, this gifting is the predominant way in which God has designed you to manifest His life. It is the way in which you become an extension of, say, God's hand, or God's feet, or God's tongue. Peter describes these gifts well in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. He writes, "Each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." Followers of Jesus Christ receive a gift or gifts which enable him or her to represent and act for the God of our Lord Jesus Christ in serving and speaking in the world. If I might put this cautiously, in very practical and tangible ways, we are the body of Christ here and now. Those gifts may be gifts that provide help, feeding, healing, comfort, and so forth. Other gifts communicate verbally for teaching, prophesying, encouraging, so forth. As these gifts are used fully and in dependence upon our Lord, this second bowl then begins to overflow into the third. The third bowl is your expression of love within the Christian community, the church. We read about this in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 16. As your bowl of gifting overflows with God's life of grace, it begins to pour into the community you share with other followers of Jesus, the community of the church, or the Jesus community. Jesus spoke of this during His Last Supper. "By this shall all people know that you are My disciples if you love one another." John 13, verse 35. Read Romans 12, verses 9 to 16, and see what this looks like in the community you share with other followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth bowl is your presence in the world in which you live. To see more of this, read Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21. It is in this sphere that you overcome evil with good. This sphere includes your neighborhood, your marketplace, your workplace, your school, or whatever. It is whenever and wherever you happen to be and live among other human beings, most of whom do not know God. Where does this leave us in our desire to reclaim worship? From your response to God as a living sacrifice, your act of service flows into your gifting, into your Jesus community, and then into the world. In this way, serving is worship. I mentioned at the beginning that I would give you Mark Labberton's definition of worship. Here it is. Worship turns out to be the dangerous act of waking up to God and to the purposes of God in the world, and then living lives that actually show it. And so, you become a service of worship, and worship becomes Christ-like service in all of life.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.